morning, please, and open with me, if you would, to Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning is where we will begin. We took the time this morning to read one of the accounts from Luke's Gospel of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you understand and know that the resurrection of the Lord, the bodily resurrection of the Lord, is an essential tenet to our Christian faith. If Christ be not raised, then our faith is in vain. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 clearly delineates this truth beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 beginning in verse 12. Follow along, please, as I read. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer before we consider some thoughts together this morning concerning the resurrection? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we have before us now to be able to come and consider one of the most important events in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we stand here today, we give thanks that we come before you because he is alive today. He is risen and sitting at your right hand. And Father, we honor him today. We exalt his name on high, for he is to be seen and even to be heard today. Father, I ask and pray that you would bless as we come to our time and study of your word. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wonderful truth from your word today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Although we know or we declare that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a true fact, the reality is the significance of this cardinal doctrine is being lost in our day. There are very few who even relate the resurrection with Easter. In fact, according to a Barna study, only 42% of adults polled link the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the celebration of Easter. We call this Easter Sunday. Yet 42% of adults don't realize what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. But I trust that as we come to God's Word and study it together this morning, that our hearts are going to rejoice in the wonder of the resurrection. I'm going to begin this morning by helping us see the importance of the resurrection. And then as we close our sermon this morning, I want to give you some practical imperatives from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some things for us to consider. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you just to note with me the importance of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter dedicated to the truth concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is much truth in 1 Corinthians 13, much for which we could take and study and consider. The chapter ends in a very wonderful way, as we know, very familiar verses which tell us that in death there is no sting, the grave there is no victory, for the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, we have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we're told, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and in this chapter, he is dedicating his teaching to the importance of the resurrection. And the reason that he had to do so is because in his day, as in ours, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was being devalued. There were some who were saying that there was no resurrection. Yet they didn't understand what it meant to declare there is no resurrection of the dead and what that meant to their faith in the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of great importance. And I want you to see its importance for two main reasons this morning. First of all, I want you to note with me that the resurrection is essential to our salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential to our salvation. Look at the first few verses of this chapter. Paul writes and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So here's the gospel. In succinct form, simple truth. What is the good news? Paul says it. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The gospel message is simple. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again, conquering sin and conquering death. There's your good news. You are a sinner who should be bound for an eternity in hell. But God in love sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth that he might, yes, live, so that he might die. But he didn't just die and remain dead as all other religious leaders do. He died and he rose again. It was prophesied in the Word of God and every prophecy was fulfilled. And he rose again. Essential to the gospel message is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says it is a key component. It's important. We cannot devalue it. Matter of fact, just hold your place here. Just turn over for a moment to the Gospel of Romans. Excuse me, the book of Romans and the gospel message that we find in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Familiar passage along the Romans road, as we would call it. Look at verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You realize from the gospel message you cannot remove the resurrection. If you remove the resurrection, there is no salvation. Essential to the truth of the gospel, essential to your salvation, is that Jesus Christ rose again. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 2, we're told that by this truth, we are saved. And the truth is, again, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. To remove the resurrection is to make the truth of the gospel of no effect. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, as we read just earlier, if Christ be not raised and he is not risen, verse 14 says, our faith is in vain. Verse 17 says, and we are yet in our sins. Essential to your salvation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice with me a link between the resurrection and our salvation. Verses 5 and 6, we read these words. Even when we were dead in sins,
hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, had made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The word quicken there means to make alive. In your salvation, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Just as Jesus Christ died for your sins, but He rose again, and those who believe in Him are made alive. They've been raised again and given a new life in Christ. Essential to our salvation is the resurrection. God, in His great love and mercy, when we were dead in our sins, made us alive by faith in Christ and His work. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. You cannot remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot devalue it without devaluing the gospel message. If Christ be not raised, you're in your sin. Your faith is in vain. But hallelujah, He is alive. We cannot seek the living among the dead, for He is living. He has risen as He said, fulfilling every prophecy of Scripture. But I want you to notice, second with me, that the resurrection is essential not only to your salvation, but to your security. The resurrection is essential to our security. If Christ is not raised, we're in our sins. So it's linked to our salvation. Yet we also are told very clearly in John 14 and verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because of that essential truth that we know is true, it gives me a security in my salvation. I have nothing to fear. Because Jesus lives, He has promised that I will live also. My salvation is secure. That is a comfort to me when I consider that truth, that He lives. Therefore, I also live. We sing the hymn, "My faith has found a resting place." It's a beautiful hymn. The first verse simply says, "My faith has found a resting place." It's not in device nor creed. "I trust instead the ever-living One. His wounds for me shall plead." Our faith, our hope, our security is in this truth, that Jesus Christ lives today. That's why the songwriter could say in the refrain, "I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me." There are those within our world today who are looking for the answers of the life hereafter. People are afraid to die. What comes next? The Bible tells us clearly what comes next. The Bible tells us, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a wonderful place, and it's called heaven. And there the Son of God lives today. He is today preparing a place for all who believe in Him. And one day He will call us home to be with Him for all eternity. But those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross, and the truth that He is risen and living today, the Bible speaks of a place called hell. There is no light there. There is no comfort there, because Jesus Christ is not there. You and I were made to fellowship with God. We were made to have a relationship with Christ. And He has made it possible for that relationship to be restored, because we, in our sins, went astray. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. We consider Friday, though, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore our griefs, He carried our sorrows. He was stricken for you and for me. In love, he died. And in power, he rose again. See, death has no sting. There is no victory in the grave. I have nothing to fear because Jesus Christ today is alive, living for you, living for me. The Bible tells me today he is interceding for me. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is salvation, there is security. I want you to see some practical, though, imperatives concerning the resurrection of Christ. And I want you to find them with me in the book of Colossians in the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3. Once we understand the importance of the resurrection, we ought to ask ourselves, how does that truth really affect me? Does it really matter that today Jesus lives, okay, I'm saved and I'm secure and I have a home in heaven? What about today? I think if you and I understood the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we ought, it would change the way that we live day by day. We know that it's fundamental to our faith and it can never be denied. But the truth of the resurrection needs to be made practical in daily living. It needs to be held to more than just a creed. It ought to be a way now of conduct. In Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4, Paul shares with us some practical imperatives concerning the resurrection. Notice what it says. If ye then be, notice the word, risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In light of the truth that Jesus Christ has been raised, and because of our faith in him, we have been raised with him, Paul sets out some practical imperatives. By the way, that word if, beginning in verse 1, could also be translated this way, since. Since you have been risen with Christ, or you could do it this way, if you have been risen with Christ, and you have. The understanding is he is writing to those who have been saved. He is writing to those that have received the truth of the resurrection. And since you have been risen with Christ because you've received of the bounty and the blessing of the resurrection, here are your imperatives. Verse 1, seek that which is heavenly. Seek that which is heavenly. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And if you're confused as to what it is above, that's where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are heavenly. Again in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, it's because Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection, we have been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Therefore, as we live this life day by day, we are to seek those things which are above. The Lord Jesus Christ said it this way in Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then the things of this earth, they'll be added unto you. But your priority and my priority, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we have been risen with him, is now to live for those things which are heavenly. To seek the things above, not the things of the earth. We are to live with eternity's values in view, not merely for the temporal things of life. Seek that which is above. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says you have two choices, really. You can serve God or you can serve mammon, material things. You can lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Those treasures will corrupt. They will rust. They will pass away, be taken from you. Or you can live for things eternal. Those heavenly treasures, no one can touch them. They can never be corrupted. They can never be corroded. They can never be stolen away. They're there for all eternity. Now, folks, what Paul's saying to the church at Colossae is simple. You have received the blessing of the resurrection. You've been saved. You've been risen with Christ. Placed in heavenly places with Him. Stop going after the things of the earth. Instead, seek as a way of life that which is heavenly. Verse 2 continues the thought. Not only are we to seek that which is heavenly, but we're to set our heart on things above. You could read verse 2 this way. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That opening phrase continues here. Because you have been risen with Christ, you are to set your affections on things above. Now you may wonder, isn't that the same thing that we just said? Isn't seeking after heavenly things the same as setting my affections on things above? Isn't Paul just saying the same thing? The reality is he's not. He's going a step further. Let me illustrate it. It is one thing to seek for something. It's another to set your heart on it. Let's talk about something material. Many of you have experienced these things. You believe it's time for a new home. You contact a realtor. You begin to seek for a new home. In that process, you spend time, days, weeks, maybe months, depending, with that realtor. You trudge through home after home after home, and you walk in and say, no way, I could never live here. Too much work for me. I don't want to have anything to do with it. No thank you, no thank you, no thank you. And you go through that process over and over again. You begin to wonder, is there ever going to be that home for us? Realtor calls and says, I have one more place I want to show you. You're thinking, I don't really want to go. You make the appointment, you go, you walk in, and there it is. It's the aha moment. The light comes on, you know, the music begins to play. Oh, and you go, this is my dream home. This is what I've been looking for. Why has it taken us so long to find it? What happens at that moment? You stop seeking and you start setting. Here's what happens. Guys begin to do the calculations. This is going to cost me how much? Okay. And the ladies go, on this wall, I can put this, and it could be this color, and this room will belong to them, and this is, and I mean, they have it all planned out. And all of a sudden, you go home, and you realize that those calculations don't mean anything, because she's got a whole new things that she has to buy to fill up the new home. Because all of your old stuff won't work in that home anymore. What's happened? You set your heart on it. You make the offer. Oh, when are they going to call? Do we get it? Are we going to have it? Is it going to be ours? Some of you fret and you worry about those things. The phone call comes. Oh, we got it. Yay. Right? And then the husband goes, oh, work. There's a difference between seeking something and setting your heart on it. And here's what Paul says. In light of the resurrection, it's not just that you seek for heavenly things. Your heart needs to be set there. Set on the things
above, not on the things of the earth. Folks, heaven is not an abstract concept that we hope someday to maybe realize. It's real. It exists today. Jesus Christ is there today. The Father is there today. The glory of heaven exists, and our heart needs to be set on it. This world ought to look strangely dim, as the hymn writer says, because my eyes have been turned to Jesus, my heart has been set on that which is eternal, and nothing of the earth can satisfy. Why? Because He is the fountain of living waters, and if we drink of Him, we never thirst again. He is the bread of life, that as we eat of Him, we are full and satisfied and never in need again. But Jeremiah would have to write to the people of Israel and says, you have done two evils. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and you have hewn yourself cisterns, broken cisterns that can't even hold water. Your heart is set in all the wrong places. Let me ask you a question this morning in light of the resurrection. Where's your heart set today? What's the love of your soul? Is it here on earth? Is it really wrapped up in a home, a vehicle, a vacation account, any bank account, any possession that we own where things simply fade away? Or is it set on things above? Paul's going to go further in light of the resurrection, though. We're to seek those things which are above. We're to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Then verse 3 and 4 say, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Here's the final thought. Stay satisfied with heavenly things. See, you and I are supposed to seek those things which are heavenly. We're to set our heart on things above. And then we need to remain satisfied with the heavenly things. It's the final challenge. Verse 3 says it this way. You are dead, and your life is hid with God. What does Paul mean when he says that? You are dead, and your life is hid with God. What am I dead to? I'm dead to the things below. I'm alive to the things above. I'm dead to self. I'm dead to the flesh. I'm dead to the things of this life, the temporal world. I have been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless I live, yet it's not I, it's Christ that liveth in me. I am dead to the things of this world, alive to the things of God. My life is hid in Christ. It means I am perfectly united with Christ. I am identified with Him. Crucified, yet alive. Verse 4 then goes on and tells us about our hope. Christ is coming. When Christ, who is our life, by the way, there's the unitedness with Christ. Your life is not about you. Your life is Christ. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Your life is hid with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then we're going to appear with Him in glory. It's because of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ that because the grave could hold Him no longer, that we look forward with great anticipation to the day that we will be forever with the Lord. See, folks, Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible tells us that the next event in the prophetic calendar of God is the return of Christ for his bride, the church. He will return to the air and call us home to be with him. And when he will appear, we're going to appear with him in glory. The Bible says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel will shout. Those who are dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive and remain will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when I see him and I behold him, I'll become like him, glorified forever with the Lord. What a glorious day. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ I've got that hope. So I need now, on this earth, to stay satisfied with the heavenly things. Are you satisfied with the things eternal? We ought to be able to say, for me, it is enough. Jesus Christ is all I need. I found this poem some time ago. I think it speaks well to the things that we're talking of today. Speaking of the resurrection, it says, the tomb could hold him no longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ arose on Resurrection Day. Folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an important truth. It's essential to the message of the gospel. It's essential to our security. And if Christ has been risen, and he has, and we have been risen with him, if you put your faith and trust in him, then seek those things which are above. And while you're seeking, set your heart on it and determine to remain satisfied with him and him alone. It's because Jesus came to this earth that we have the blessing of eternal life. It's because he was buried and rose again according to the scripture that you and I can live. I trust that we'll never forget the importance of the resurrection. But I also trust that we'll live each day with these practical imperatives within our minds and within our hearts. I am to live every day in light of the resurrection, with my heart, my life, seeking eternal things, making sure that I am set only on the things above, and ensuring that I remain satisfied with him alone. Folks, that's not a one-time decision. These are continual things. They're imperatives that remain day and day out. It's easy for us to get distracted. Again, Isaiah said we're all like sheep. We easily go astray. It's easy for us to turn to our own ways. But Jesus Christ came and he died for you. He rose again from the grave, conquering sin and death. There is no sting in death. There is no victory in the grave. We've been given the victory through Jesus Christ. So, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast on heavenly things. Unmovable, unwavering for that which is eternal. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because I'm satisfied knowing that as much as I do for Christ, my labor is never in vain for him. Where's your heart set today? What satisfies? What are you seeking after? In light of the resurrection, the answer to all those questions ought to be Jesus Christ and heavenly things. He came, he died, he was buried, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the Savior this morning. Let's pray as we close.